Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on June 14th, 2015, and is entitled The Best Way and the Worst Way to Live.
Friends, I'm going to encourage you, if you have your Bible in hand, thank you. Oh, I just love that, Ainsley. That's great. Let's go ahead and get our bulletin in hand as well. You'll notice in the back of the bulletin is the message title and the outline. We hope that you'll enjoy that and take that and fill it in. How about that? How about that sticky note? There we go, right there. We're going to John chapter 8. I like John chapter 8 today because Jesus talks about knowledge. He talks about truth, and he talks about both knowing the truth that sets people free. That's what we're looking at today, friends. Today we're discovering the message title is The Best Way and the Worst Way to Live. So here at Hope Chapel, when we recognize our graduates, so many of them completing their course of study, but especially doing it while honoring the Lord, we want to all examine as we go into these summer times. We want to take a look at what it is to just continue to experience a real freedom. And as you know, just in a couple of weeks, we're going to be celebrating our independence as a nation, July the 4th. Matter of fact, that started and took place July the 4th in 1776, where the Declaration of Independence was signed by 56 signers. As you know, many of them paid dearly. Some of them not only lost their life, but lost everything they had. Their farms were burned, things were confiscated, they ran for their life. But in that, they declared that we are a nation that is going to be free in the Declaration of Independence. And part of that one line I'd like to just read to you, it says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Isn't that wonderful? We have political freedom. But today we're taking a look at a message because we want to take a look at spiritual freedom. Are we enjoying spiritual freedom? And that's what Jesus is addressing here in John chapter 8, verse 31 through 37. I'm reading from the New King James rendering. If you got another translation, that's fine. Follow along with. A little while ago, I was in the checkout line, and as you know, there's magazine racks. How many remember what a magazine is? Because some of you are reading your tablets, and it's like, magazine, hello. But there was an article that was laid out, and the title was Three Ways to Total Fulfillment. And I mean, I'm sure that that magazine was just going off of the shelves. Because everybody wants to know what a fulfilling life might be, right? In other words, if I just could secure that environment, that living arrangement, if I went to that, maybe that state, life could be a little better. If I drove that automobile, maybe I could be a little more fulfilled. But Jesus has something to say to us this morning. We're taking a look at it because it's important, the best way and the worst way to live life. Let me read verse 31 is where we'll begin, John chapter 8. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you." Let's take a look. Our first point is the best way to live, how about it, in freedom. Freedom. What a great word. I like that. Divine perspective. Life is basically freedom exists. And let me just put it in this way, through a wonderful discipleship life with Jesus Christ. Real freedom comes that way, genuine discipleship. Jesus is going to take a look at that. That's what he's addressing here. And as we look, letter A, believing in Christ. Where would that process? Very simply laid out in our text, but let's look together here. Believing in Christ. Verse 31 again. Look at what Jesus is saying, who he's addressing. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. Now, that's an important phrase. Believed him literally means, in that rendering, is that they are believing what he says, but they don't believe in him. Let's go to verse 30. If you look at verse 30, can you see in your text? Look down. It says there, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Now, those are people who say, he's it. He is the Messiah. Then we come along and we see here, now he's going to address the Jews who believe him. Oftentimes, when we get a chance, we see and hear things we're taking a look at where someone comes along and says, man, I really appreciate that. That was a good word this morning. But there's no movement where we take a look and say, okay, I really do need and want Jesus, and I adhere, he is my Savior. This group, they're just saying, man, it sounds good what he's having to say and what he is expressing. So there's a superficial faith that Jesus is addressing here in this group. He's speaking to those that like what he's saying. Leon Morris says this. I think it was a helpful note from his commentary about this section. He says, this section is addressing to those who believe and yet who do not believe. And they were inclined to think that what Jesus said was true, but they were not prepared to yield to him far-reaching allegations that really would say, I'm going to trust you as Messiah. So when we take a look at believing in Christ, Jesus knows that. And if you were to take a look at John chapter 2, verse 24, right off the gate, Jesus says he's not going to commit to men because he knows what's in them. Isn't that worth noting? Knowing that there are some people that, man, it's good to be a good person, but when we take a look at things, we recognize there are some that really can't fully entail involvement with Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, the Apostle Paul says, why don't you test yourself to see whether you're in the faith or not? Sometimes that's worth noting. And are we really, do we feel we're saved? That's worth noting. We could each come along and say, I believe that my life is peaceful and secure in Christ. So believing in Christ is where it's at. Point two, how about continuing in the Word? That would be his next step. Let's look at verse 31 again. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Now, that's an interesting thing. So it's a continuing on in the word. Now, John, as he's writing this gospel and the epistle, he likes that word abide. What does that mean? It literally means to continue on or remain in the continuous process of. In other words, don't stop. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Abide. He likes that word. In the whole New Testament, the word abide is used 34 times. John uses it in his writing 31 of the 34 times. Everybody else uses it 3 times in the whole New Testament. But here we have Jesus saying, if you are going to really be my disciple, keep continuing in my word. Abide in my word. Keep at it. Keep at it. It's as if it's a system. Don't stop. So an authentic disciple really is a disciple who's committed to continuing on in the truth of God's word. Now that's important because we're looking at the best way to live life in freedom. Yeah, I believe in Christ. Well, then if a true disciple then will continue on in the word of the Lord. I remember when I came to Christ, nobody needed to tell me to just get into the Word or go to church. I was actually kind of forced to go to church in my early years. And then all of a sudden, when I invited Christ into my life, then it's like, wow, I just wonder if Jesus would make a difference in my relationship, even in church involvement. And it was amazing how that church came alive. It was phenomenal, the difference of having Christ in my life, having sin being removed, that impact of that, it was a wonderful experience. So when Jesus uses the word disciple here, he says so clear, if you abide in my word, continuing on in that process, continue on, you are my disciple indeed. Now the word disciple in the Greek means a learner. In other words, a disciplined learner. That's why Hope Chapel here, we really are all about having people get established in some disciplines of sticking into the Word. We call it Operation Solid Lives. I'm hoping that this summer, that you would consider signing up for Operation Solid Lives. Because some might say, well, I think I'm good. I believe in Christ, but we're not really continuing on. And some of us might need not only coaching and encouragement, we really need to know the tools to say, oh, because I know that if you or any one of us happen to use just the Sunday sermon as our spiritual feeding, I would just say you're on life supports. You really are. It's going to be pretty hard for a message to resurrect just worn out, maybe discouraged saints who love God, but they're just not getting the proper nourishment that they need. We need to continue on in the Word of God. So important. So an authentic disciple will continue on. I would just say, how are you doing in reading your Bible? We're going into the summer session. How's it? Do you have it? Do you have that time where you're reading the Bible? Because oftentimes you might find, we'd say, well, what's going to be our study book that we're all going to read as a church? What's going to be that devotional material? Well, I'd like to just say, why don't we just get into the Word? Wouldn't that be cool? That's a great idea. Let's just read the Bible through the summer and take advantage of that. The other thing was, how would you just enjoy meditating on the Word? Taking just one verse and meditating on it to where you've got it in memorized form and letting the Holy Spirit bring it back to your remembrance, especially when you need it. And how about when you need it, when you pass it on to somebody else? That is such an amazing miracle when you let then the Word of God come down and pass it on to someone else. Or, better yet, how's it going applying the Word? Jesus said, if you abide in my Word, you are my disciples indeed. So there's a qualifier. There is definitely a qualifier, one who is in the continual process. How about letter C, knowing the truth? First step, how about it? Believing, continuing in, and now the third, knowing the truth. Look at verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Isn't it wonderful that those forms when all of a sudden I enjoy the fact when, man, the experience of having Jesus in my life, having the pressure and the condemnation and my guilt from sin lift off. What an amazing thing. To come along and saying, I'm going to know the truth. I know the truth. Man, the Word's got life. That brings forth life. You know, in our postmodern culture that you live in, I live in, you come along and say, hey, I know what truth is, you'll be shut down. We were together last week. We were enjoying John 14. When Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. Hey, by the way, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Man, that's pretty straightforward. Jesus said, I am the way, not a way. Not a way. He's not one of many ways. John 14, 6. Now that's important to recognize because there was Newsweek a while back. They took a poll and 85% of Christians who say they're Christians, 85% say that there are many ways to heaven. There may be some of you that say, how can we be so narrow? That's probably why I don't really share my faith in Christ, because there are other people that have legitimate reasons why they believe their God and their form of belief is access to nirvana or a paradise or heaven. Maybe we might not take our cards out and say, well, let's pass them out there. The card that I love my church, meet me there. How great are these? I just want to flash them in case you might have some of them right there in your wallet still, or maybe your pocketbook. Let's get them out. How about that? If you want to kind of preserve one, then let us know. We'll give you plenty, but it would be good. Just let's hand them out. How about it? But in our postmodern time, basically, our society is saying that there is nothing that's absolutely certain. That's what your society, my society, believes. Matter of fact, they actually say it's absolutely certain that nothing is absolutely certain. So when you come along and say, I think Jesus has all truth and he is the truth, you'll get the response that basically says, I'm sorry you're so narrow. What a shame. You're really kind of ignorant. Too bad. I pity you, man. And we just kind of maybe, really? because that's our postmodern. What is really trying to be encouraged by our culture is that they would just like you to do two things. That is, get all A's, they'll leave you alone, since we're taking a look at graduation. Just get all A's. And the second thing is, make sure you're tolerant. We want you tolerant of every thought and belief and lifestyle. You do those two things in our postmodern society, you'll be okay. But friends, there is a truth out there, and Jesus says in verse 30, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, that's a great verse, and it's the most famous verse used in our universities, in our colleges. It's on their seals, many of them. Verse 32, but they say, the truth shall set you free. Some will just say, truth will set you free. You might have seen it on some of the seals. Directing the thought that as long as you keep studying and keep applying for those A's, that you're going to have a freedom in higher education or further knowledge. But Jesus is talking about something here, and he pinpoints it in verse 36. Can you find it right there? He says, real freedom's in Jesus. Look at verse 36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So he's not talking about education. He's talking about Jesus himself. If I have set you free, you're going to be truly free. Now, I do remember the interesting thought. I was raised in religion. It was all about maintaining rules. That was the form of my upbringing in church. Keep to the rules. When Jesus came into my life, all of a sudden, not only did the despair and the pressure of feeling guilty and realize, man, sin is removed, but then even the rules somehow made sense and started to encourage me in the things of God. Man, you can't force a relationship with God in a person. Isn't that true? That's why so many of you, I'm never going to force my kid to go to church. At least encourage them to know Jesus. Start on the inside and watch it bubble out. Do I get a witness there? Because we've all tried to cram it, and that doesn't change anyone. But when Jesus came in, man, it was amazing. Instantly, I started reading the Bible. I really started reading a paperback. It looked like newspaper. It was called Good News for Modern Man. But I just said, I just got to read more of this. I'm so glad I did. Now look what I'm doing. From a printer to a preacher. And I kind of like that. But anyway. But I remember reading the Word. And when Jesus says so clearly, if the Son set you free, you shall be free indeed. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How does that work? This is how it works. Jesus came in. Man, I felt the weightiness of my despair about the gross things I was involved. It lifted. I'm free. That's how I knew right off that God was real. And then as I read the Word, then the gradual freedom increased. As I read the Word, I started understanding more about God. As I read the Word, I started understanding things about humanity. I really understood more about myself. I thought, whoa. I understood when I needed it about marriage. I understood as I read the Word even about business. It's an amazing thing. It wasn't just, and I'm free, Jesus, in my life. It was, I read the Word of God, and freedom started coming more and more and more. And I started to apply the Word. I'm telling you, I understand when Jesus says, if you abide in my Word, ooh, you're going to be one of my disciples. We cannot say, yeah, I'll just pick up the Word on a Sunday. See, we recognize John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Even before creation, the Word existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. We actually, if you say, well, where's God? Why don't you open up the Word? You can spend time with Him. Because as you read the Word, see, that's where freedom and liberty starts to come. It's all for you. the Word of God is for you. That's why it would be important that you even turn to somebody and just right now whisper, sign up for OSL. Just go ahead and let them know, sign up for OSL. I think this is an advertisement for signing up for the discipleship class at Hope Chapel. Isn't it interesting, too, those unshakable convictions that come? I'm telling you, our young people are going to need that. You might even need that. Our society is saying there's nothing that we really absolutely believe is true. We're not even sure whether a politician can be trusted. We're not sure now even in religious settings. I don't know who to believe. Man, that cynicism's out there, isn't it? How about the Word of God? That still does not change. It brings unshakable conviction, dear parents, to your children. It'll bring unshakable conviction being a person who continues on as a disciple of God in the Word, and freedom comes to you, and freedom comes to you, and freedom comes to you. I like it when Jesus cited Deuteronomy. It's there in Matthew 4:4. He said, in the point of temptation, say, I just need a little more of that food and probably an extended vacation. He shot it out and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Are you living? Or are you just breathing? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When it comes in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So, isn't it great? When we talk freedom, to be free and freer, I can say it that way, and even more free. Being a follower in pursuit of the word. Number two, how about the worst way to live? We'll kind of work through this quickly. Never liked that, but it's worth noting Jesus brings it up. The worst way to live is in slavery. And how about our nation really does know about that, right? Our country has a history of that, about slavery. Kind of botched it in the history books because it's been noted that 12 million Africans were removed and sent into slavery. America picked up 650,000 Africans and put them into slavery. We have a history in our nation what slavery is about, but that's physical slavery. It could be emotional slavery. Some people can be in slavery spiritually too. And isn't it interesting? Let's look here for a moment. Verse 33, it goes on, and they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? And Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Let's check it out just a moment. The worst way, letter A, to the slave master of sin. It's interesting what's noted here in verse 33. They answered Jesus, we're Abraham's descendants and have never been. Can you see they were never been in bondage? Is that so? Man, how about 400 years of slave labor in Egypt? I mean, the history books in the Bible talks about that. Then they went into slavery into Babylon for 70 years, and then Macedonia, and then later the Syrians went after them and put them in slavery. And Seleucus of the Cyrenian Empire, man, they went after them and put them in slavery. And while this event was taking place, Rome had them in a collar and put them in slavery. So they're saying, we've never been in bondage. Isn't that a classic denial? Have you ever dealt with somebody like that? Man, talk with an alcoholic, I can quit anytime. Really? I've never been in bondage. So here we have them saying, we've never. So taking a look at that, they probably took a little bit of their education from the rabbis because the rabbis were saying, hey, you Jews, you're all descendants of the kings of Israel. You got a good bloodline, and you're also part of the family line of the patriarchs. So you aren't going to make it into heaven. Don't you worry about that. So you can imagine when that comes along there, and Jesus says, well, wait a minute, I'm going to tell you, we're talking spiritually, because whoever keeps in a pattern of sin is really a slave to sin. Isn't it interesting? A slave is really somebody. They really don't really own and operate their own selves. They're mastered by something or someone else. They think they might be free, but they just get a little far, and then all of a sudden something pulls them back in. I've known what that's like. Man, you go 3 months, like, hey, I'm doing good. Then all of a sudden, we kind of slow down in our intake of God's word that makes us free, that continues on to make us free. I don't think I need the word. I'm too busy. God will understand. Well, it's for your survival, because we're talking freedom here. And the worst way to live life is really to have a slave master. It's called sin. Criminologists have discovered, it's interesting to note, or you watch Criminal Minds, how's that? They say that when a criminal has been paroled or pardoned, that they usually go right back to the same crime because it's just so in them, unless they learn or discover another way to live life. They go right back to that same crime. I remember Paul Harvey. Remember that, Paul Harvey in the news? Don't raise your hand. It'll show you your age. But one of the things that was most noteworthy, and I remember, talked about how Eskimos kill the wolves that are troubling their flocks. And they take knives, and they come along, and they dip a knife in that cold, frigid Arctic climate and freeze the blood on the knife. And then once it freezes, they get some more animal blood and dip it, and then freeze it and dip it again, a couple of layers of blood on a double-edged knife blade. And then at night, then they stick that bloody popsicle in the ground, and then wolves come after it. The scent of blood, they start licking the popsicle, enjoying the taste of blood, lick it clean, and then they cut their own tongue. And their insatiable appetite for blood keeps them licking that blade to where they literally bleed to death, and in the morning they die. See, that's really kind of how sin is. Sin really has a pleasure. Hebrews 11, verse 25 says, there's a pleasure for a season. It's pleasurable. And then before you know it, we've kind of like bled out. Well, how did we get to this point? Therefore, when Jesus says, person say, well, I'll just do it once or twice, before you know it, gets a grip and it's tighter and tighter and absolutely destroys. I like it when God sets people free. That's why you and I are here. We just need each other. We need God. We need His word. It's like, man, it's nice to be free. Love to worship the Lord. You can tell people that are just set free and engaged with God. It's a good feeling. But watch out for that allure of sin. Letter B, to an impenetrable heart. And I welcome our worship team that's here. But let's look at verse 37, our last verse here. It says, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, Jesus mentions, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Isn't that interesting? So he comes along and says, listen, you don't have to tell me that. I know who you are. But he says this very clearly, but you seek to kill me, and I know why. Because my word has no place, an impenetrable heart. I think we may all know people that have no desire to listen to advice. They're really not interested in good spiritual counsel. Kind of like Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. Remember that? About the sower and the seed. The seed is the word of God. The sower is God. And the seed gets thrown and it falls on the wayside. And in verse 14 and 15, Jesus says, that crew is one where the word of God comes like it does today. And then he says, Satan, his name's there, immediately comes and takes the word right out, unless it bears fruit in that person. Some Christians are saved, but their life has no fruit. Well, what does that mean? Well, we just kind of know where we are and our relationship to God and the impact we make on others for the sake of humanity. But when we look here, isn't it interesting? Because we have an individual, a whole set, and Jesus says, I know who you are. And some people actually are very proud to see how resistant they can be to somebody telling them what to do. They really feel no remorse. There's no sense of need. They haven't felt any conviction. They just really, it's like, yeah, I'm all right. How many know that's pride, and that's a big problem? Pride is actually a sin. Tripped up Lucifer. I need no one. and I'll just muscle my life through. Therefore, Jesus says, I know who you are. You really want to kill me because my word has no place in you. Hebrews 3, verse 15 says, today, if you can hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Well, I want to just say, I like the fact where Jesus comes along and he says something that I think is applicable in that setting, where he says, a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And in that setting, and they knew what slavery was all about, slaves could be sleeping in the home, but they had no right. Matter of fact, often would be removed from the home. Unless the Son, who would be the inheritor of all things, that's what Jesus is equating. Usually, that Son would inherit the Father's possessions. Unless the Son says to that slave, you're free. That slave then becomes an adopted part of the family. That's what Jesus is talking about. Isn't it nice when Jesus comes and just kind of taps us on the shoulder? Slave will never, somebody that's just addicted and in bondage, not free, will not abide in the house. But all it takes is for the Son to come along and say, let me make you free. You're going to be truly free. But what a great day to be together. What a great message when we talk about just these promotions and graduations. There is a good way to live life. And isn't it wonderful when we see, just believe in Christ. But don't stop there. Let's continue on as a person who abides in the Word. Continue in the Word. And then let's make sure we know the truth. Because as you study the Word, see the Word, that's where continual freedom starts to be applied to your life. Become more free. Well, I want to just have us close our Bibles. I want to pray for you. Let's let the Word of maybe what God spoke to you specifically this morning, let's let that resonate. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. Let's sing this chorus together. I'll be back to pray you out a blessing. You always like mornings when you just sense the real presence of the Lord, and I think, without a doubt, the Lord's just speaking to so many of us. And I know it's just one of those times you don't want to leave that presence of the Lord because you just kind of know what's out there. But you can take him with you. And I want to just invite us just for a moment. Maybe there are a few of us that say, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. Wow. I did that, made a change that affected and influenced my marriage, my children, and now my grandchildren. I'm trusting it's influencing my faith family too. One life, given over to God, influencing all those people. That could be you as well. While you close your eyes with me, if that's you and you say, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus, would you just lift your hand up and put it right down? I need the Lord. Thank you. Anyone else? Just need God in my life. Thank you. Anyone else just saying, you know, I need to give my life to the Lord? What does that mean? Just need to accept him as Savior and Lord. I'm ready to just go in a way that continues in his word. Let me lead us all in a prayer. The prayer just simply is short and sweet, but it is an issue of the heart because Romans 10, 9, and 10 says, if we confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, that's why we have you pray out loud. If you confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Isn't that cool? So let me lead you in a prayer, and please follow after me. Let's all pray that, just for the sake of these three hands. It would not just isolate anybody, or maybe others that are saying, I'm ready to give my life away. This prayer goes like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and rose to life for me. And I confess to you now, I have sinned against you and against others. Dear Jesus, forgive me. Wash me clean. come into my life right now. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I'm going to trust you, Jesus, for eternal life in heaven with you. Now, dear Lord, make me the kind of person you want me to be. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. How awesome is that? I just want to thank the Lord, especially if you didn't raise your hand, but heaven knows, heaven knows. And then one last one, I want to just ask, we have individuals that are here to pray. Would those individuals or couples come forward? I'm going to dismiss you in just a moment. And we want to encourage this. There is one other group here. And that is this. You know, there can be times that we just slip and just blow it big time. Probably the great example would be, it's like a four-year-old child in the middle of the night rolls off the bed, falls to the ground, cries. Mom comes in. What happened, honey? I fell off the bed. How did that happen? And that little four-year-old says, I stayed too close to where I got in. For some of you, you have not advanced once you got into Christianity. You're staying too close to where you got in. It's kind of like straddling the fence, and you're seeing how close you can maintain your Christianity and also be a worldly-minded person. And I know the Lord would not want that, because He loves you so much. And things are about ready to collapse. These individuals are here to want to just pray with you. And you might say, you know what, I'm ready to just go all the way for God. You who are up here, I'm going to invite for individual prayers. Could that be? No couples, individuals. And we spread out so we can have a good confession zone. How's that? Now let me pray you off. And if you do have children, we'd love to have you get your children first and then come on back. But thanks for being at Hope Chapel. We hope that you'll come back, and we hope that you'll even bring somebody with you. How about that? Isn't that great? Let me pray off a blessing. Congratulations again, graduates. Congratulations. Father, we love you. Thank you, because there are some today that have graduated. Their names have been logged into the Lamb's Book of Life. So we celebrate heaven. Celebrate their resurrection day. Lord, for those that are making their mind up, say, man, I am going full force toward God. Same way I radically went after gross sins and imagination, I'm going to apply my same energies for Jesus and for the kingdom of God. Bless those decisions and each and every one in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, everyone. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.
Listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.